Connor, it's March, and you know what that means?
Mad hares, winter's over.
Not yet, sorry. Few more months of snow left to go.
In the global north, remember?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. We are in the global north. But it is a very important month. 2 days ago, on the 8th of March, it was International Women's Day.
Aha, of course.
Big day in my life, at the very least. Is it a big day in your life?
It is, because the best movie plot ever is Aliens, which is nobody listens to the smart woman and everyone dies.
Don't, and we've said this before on the podcast, don't mess with scientific moms.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're going to celebrate International Women's Day by hearing from two remarkable women. They are active in STEM, which of course means science, technology, engineering, and math. And they're going to tell us what we all can do for women in this industry.
And it doesn't just matter on today's episode of Discovery Matters. It just matters.
STEM has always been with me.
This is Ruchi Sharma.
I'm Ruchi. I'm CEO of STEMnovate Limited.
Ruchi has always been curious.
I was intrigued by science very early on, and I was very curious as a child. I just wanted to find out why things are happening. As I was growing, then I did my first degree. I'm a veterinarian by profession. And that was the time, you know, these 90s and 20s, when a lot of things were getting innovated, you know, a lot of things were happening in the science. The new imaging technologies were coming up, stem cell field was growing. So there was a lot of excitement. So that was something that inspired me a lot to take on and continue and then make a career change towards stem cell research.
She got her PhD from Edinburgh, followed by a postdoc in the exciting field of cellular reprogramming at the University of Cambridge. And in the end, Ruchi founded STEMnovate Limited in 2016.
Okay, so STEMnovate is what? I'm kind of like thinking stem cells and...
Something innovative.
Yeah, something innovative. What is it?
We provide innovative solutions for drug discovery, especially in the areas we call as non-communicable diseases, like, you know, the heart, the liver, the brain.
So non-communicable diseases, or NCDs, as we say, they're the leading cause of death all around the world, right?
Absolutely. And each year, 41 million people die of these kinds of diseases. You know, that's 71% of all deaths globally.
Okay, that's a lot of deaths.
And the staggering statistics is about the younger people. It's 30 to 69. So my passion is helping discover new treatments, new medicines, faster, which are safer for people. And with that, the excitement is all about the new technology that we are creating that can help with the process of drug discovery.
So you could kind of say that what she really likes to do is look beyond the surface, find out what's going on, and bring that up to light.
Definitely.
She also says that an example of this is the process of finding a new medicine, proving its safety, and then taking it to clinical trials.
And within that process, there is the animal testing that happens. But in spite of all these, 90% drugs fail in clinical trials. And if we look at how many animals they get tested, in 2020 in UK, it was about 2 million. And in US, about 17 to 22 million, actually. So the big failure rate, less success, and the amount of spending and not having the right success and the adverse reaction side effect. So these are the areas we need to look why it is happening and improve upon.
This is where the technology that Ruchi has helped produce comes into play.
Because we create the new models.
Okay, so new models, that sounds like a technical term here. What does she mean?
We can take skin samples from different human beings, different genders, different ages, and we create like heart, liver, brain cells in the laboratory. And then we can look at the mechanism of action, how the drugs are interacting, the side effects that may come. And then we're not only creating like human models, we are creating animal models in parallel. Like we are creating the brain cells, the heart cells for animals as well. So even before going into animal testing and starting clinical trials, you can look at what impact this particular medicine can have, what the safety profile can be. So there is more success that is ensured. So going beyond what we are doing is what drives us.
Okay, this is absolutely fascinating. Time-saving and potentially life-saving. It brings me to something I'm not sure we've really talked about on this podcast before.
What is that?
So the origin of the name Cytiva. So chill warning, mandatory, but let's talk about us. Most of you listening probably don't know the history of why we're called Cytiva. The etymology of the word is really clear. So cyto means cell in Greek, and eva is the sort of Latin suffix to a word which connotes life and movement and so on. So for us, it really meant, you know, to our customers who grow things with cells and work with cells, and us, it's knowledge and action with cells. The flip side of it, which is practical, is that we as a company already owned the trademark for the name Cytiva. It was the name of a product that used human heart cells derived from embryonic stem cells in a drug toxicity testing product, and we marketed that as Cytiva.
So that's incredible, and that's pretty close to what Ruchi is doing here. Instead of using real bodies, real people, or real animals, she's creating the cells, and she can do these tests without a high risk to living populations. It doesn't end there. Ruchi says that as important as how she and her team are creating these cells, the big picture is all about improving the science.
Most of the cells that we have in our biobank, they are given by living volunteers. So when we go out and talk about our research work, so that is where people are finding it valuable, and they're happy to give us the cells that then we create subsequent, differentiating them into heart, liver, and we can do co-culture studies, interaction studies. So the whole business process and the value that is created through the technology, like some of the new things that we are innovating on, is creating what is called as like organ on a chip. So these are like integration of microelectronics, you know, the sensors. So what we are observing, we are imaging, but we are also able to measure. So that improves your reproducibility. You can real time look into your data and ways of improving.
That's just marvelous.
I know. As a parallel to Ruchi's work of looking underneath stuff and finding where she needs to shine a light, Ruchi is also passionate about today's topic, making sure that women in science get the attention they deserve.
There are less females enrolled into clinical trials. So there is a gender gap in research on the data side, but then also who's conducting the research as well. So if we look at workforce in science, the women make up to, I think, 45-46%. But then you look at the senior roles, you know, the leadership roles, highest paid jobs, that's where the gender gap is huge. And that needs to be addressed because women, in spite of having a lot of potential because of, you know, some responsibilities in life, maternal responsibilities, sometimes have to compromise with the career.
The problem is not only because that's how the system is, that's a kind of a lame excuse, it's actually way more complex than that.
The thing is, like, there are less women creating more opportunities for women because you understand the problem. So if the more women are there, definitely there is more innovation to help women grow and attain the best of their potential. So I think it's very important to talk about it because I'm a mother and I've done most of my work balancing out my childcare responsibilities and everything associated to it. So you have to create an environment for women to grow. And for that, it's important that women take these opportunities, take on the challenges, and then develop the strength around and create more and more opportunities for women to grow.
Today, the environment and possibilities for women in STEM are better than ever. In fact, to shill a little bit again for Cytiva, a lot of our leadership team is made up of women. And a lot of the barriers that Ruchi suffered when she was young are being knocked down.
Yeah, and it sounds like from what she's saying, that a big part of this is actually women like herself, right? She's an agent of change. It's kind of like, be the change you want to see in the world.
For sure.
Your voice will only be heard if you're shouting enough. So being there and proving that the gender is not a barrier. It's your skill and your team strength, your technology strength. That is actually what's going to give the benefit to the process as well as the patients downstream.
Now I want to introduce you to one more guest, Connor.
Okay.
My wish would be for companies who say that they are willing to move forward and towards having a more diverse workforce to actually take action into doing it.
This is Sabrina.
I'm Sabrina Shahime. I am a drug product development scientist. I'm also part of BB STEM, which is a nonprofit standing for Black, British and STEM, where I aim to help Black individuals as they are transitioning into the STEM industry from their studies, but also as young professionals in able to find opportunities in the field.
So BB STEM is a nonprofit organization campaigning for balance and representation of Black individuals in STEM.
So we know that this is a real issue in science. We've covered this before in the podcast, interviewing Joan from BCSP. Science is not diverse enough, so let's focus on this. So what's her expectation, Sabrina, when it comes to the rest of the scientific community?
She says one of the most important things is to realize that encouraging, enabling, and energizing participation and contribution from Black individuals in STEM is more. And I loved when she said this. She's like, it's not about the calendar. Don't make it a one and done day.
If you want new talent, diverse talent, different talent, then you have to look somewhere else than the usual place where you're looking. And you need to show that you're committed, because that's also something that would attract those talented individual that you might be having a hard time reaching. So yeah, I'd like to see them do the work all year round and seek help and be in a genuine, make it a genuine process and not just some sort of PR when it's convenient.
When Sabrina defines success for her career, it's really important to keep that note of realism and pragmatism.
Sitting down with myself a few months ago, I thought back about how all the times where I felt very frustrated as a woman in science, but as a scientist, trying to accomplish things, having a big picture and goals that you want to achieve, and taking a step back and feeling like you're not progressing because the goal is so big and you feel like your peers might be progressing faster than you, or that maybe you set a goal that is not achievable anymore. And I think what this brought me to do was to break down what I wanted to achieve into what I would say are bite-sized, realistic goals.
She starts with the big picture.
Let's say I want to go to a certain point, but then my journey is going to be long. So I need to already plan my stops throughout the journey. And that really helps you keep track of things in a way that is not too overwhelming, because at the end, you still are trying to go towards that big picture, but you're making sure that you can measure success at a lower level, so you feel like you're progressing. It's a way of tricking your brain into, you know, accepting that you're making progress, even if it doesn't seem like so.
And basically, this approach is a bit like solving a jigsaw puzzle.
When you start a jigsaw, it can feel quite overwhelming when you have, a few thousand pieces. So you don't necessarily start putting everything together. You have a strategy. So maybe you start by the perimeter and you start corner by corner. So I think it's the same thing, the same approach I have when it comes to understanding where I want to go next in my career. You just, sit down and define those corners, define the different areas where you'll be focusing on, define those bite-sized accomplishments. And it makes it way more manageable. And I think you feel a bit less frustrated because you still have the big picture in mind, but you really feel like you're progressing because you break it down in so small tasks.
So Sabrina the drug development scientist. She's been working in the pharmaceutical industry for the past 5 years, so she's been super active, you know, during the pandemic. So I wonder if she's seen a change in the last couple of years, particularly for women of color looking to break into the industry. How has the last 2 years, which has seen huge changes for all sorts of people, forced her to think about reevaluating what she might be able to do?
For sure. I really think from discussing with other people, but also seeing how it made me rethink maybe what I want to achieve, because all of a sudden you feel like if you want to do something, now is the moment. There's no guarantee that, you know, it will be better in 5 years. So you might as well do it now. And from talking to people, I really feel like more and more people think like this, and more women also think like this in order to balance their, you know, work life as well. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm working from home. Maybe that's a setting that is better for me. And maybe I should move towards an activity that allows me to have more spare time for myself, but also for my family if I have one.
So knowing everything that Ruchi and Sabrina know now, if they had any advice for young girls and women starting out chasing a career in STEM, what would they say?
Well, let's hear straight from Sabrina first.
So even if you think you want to get into some sort of IT-related field, go see what's happening in other areas. I don't think it's beneficial, particularly at a young age, to limit yourself to what you think you want to do, because as you realize growing up, what you want to do can change a lot. So it's great to expose yourself to as many opportunities, as many different STEM fields as possible, as early as possible, and to understand and then make an informed choice later on. But don't be afraid to try different things and figure it out. There's a lot of resources out there and a lot of opportunities. It would be a shame not to use those.
And Ruchi says you need to understand that STEM is not only for professional growth.
It is something that helps us grow personally as well. The opportunities that come our way, we have to make the best of those. And we don't have to look at STEM as something which is very difficult, you know. We have to change the way actually we are learning and we are teaching. Because rather than creating, you know, fear about that this is something which is going to be very difficult, we have to understand the potential and how this can be actually applied. Because if we are doing a lot of theoretical teaching, that's where we forget that how this gets applied. So we have to change the way we teach. Everything is hard, you know, if you don't try.
Okay, so let's get them into the lab.
Yeah, just get them in the lab. Hands-on, everybody learns.
Thank you for listening. Let's say a special thank you to the marvelous women in science who help us produce this podcast.
Absolutely.
Executive producer, Andrea Killen. Bethany Grace Armit Brewster, also producer. And our fantastic intern. Editing, mixing, and music by Tom Henley. We forgive you for being a man this time, Tom. And Banda Production. My name is Dodie Axelson.
And I'm still Connor McKechnie. Make sure you rate us on Spotify, whichever platform you use, and we'll see you when we come back with another episode of Discovery Matters.